Thanks for joining us for another Joy Valley podcast. Joy Valley is having conversations with Christian ministries in Kansas City that are focused on trauma and emotional healing. In this podcast, you will discover the many Christian ministries that have partnered with Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for those who are captive in Kansas City. What have you been carrying around that you wanted gone years ago? Kathy Tilden takes us backstage through the journey of going from a mandatory A-plus Christian lifestyle onto an abiding surrender with Jesus Christ. For 24 years, Kathy experienced chronic illness. She used this time to get to know her Lord and Savior. Today, she is healed both emotionally from lies believed and naturally able to run triathlons again. In 2020, Sunrise Ministries was born, and Kathy now is guiding others into a more abundant life with Jesus Christ. Here is my conversation with Kathy Tilden. Well, welcome, Kathy, to Joy Valley podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so excited. We get to just have a conversation about, you know, your story, and we're going to learn about how you started Sunrise Ministries. The website is www.sunrisekc.org. We'll re-reference that later on in this podcast. The ministry is called Sunrise Ministries. So before we, you know, get into Sunrise Ministries, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your story?
Yes, absolutely. I became a Christian my senior year of high school, kind of freshman year of college, and dove right in. Like, I just dove right into Christianity. I wanted to be the best Christian God had ever seen. I worked 24/7 to serve Him.
A-plus Christian.
Yes, I think I almost made it. I was almost His favorite. But unfortunately, after 4 years in college and then 11 years in full-time Christian work, I was worn out. Okay. I literally wore my immune system down, my adrenal system down, because I didn't understand that you were allowed to take breaks. I just thought, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And I just went constantly. Yeah. Like that real performance oriented kind of thing. And, so I was down and I became sick for 24 years. It started out as chronic fatigue syndrome, then later was diagnosed as chronic Lyme disease.
Wow.
And it was horrendous. Wow. And I kept asking the Lord every day, why aren't you healing me? Why aren't you healing me? The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. You know, don't you want me to get back out there? But what God wanted to show me was that He was more than just like a taskmaster and a slave driver.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to get to know who God really was.
Wow.
And so during that wilderness period, I just sought Him. And I got to know Him on such a deep level. And I understood that I had a lot of things that I needed to learn, you know, from my own experience to be healed of, so I wouldn't be so performance oriented. I mean, when I was growing up, and I think a lot of us have this, we have this idea that significance, performance equals our significance.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's how many of us were raised, parents and teachers and things like that. So if I wasn't the A-plus student, you know, there was something wrong. I was lacking.
Yes.
Like, I could bring a report card home and have 3 A's and 2 B's. And it was like, well, what's with the B's?
Was that your parents too?
I mean, that's just kind of that post-World War II mentality, you know, everything's just, come on, it's all about. So I was really raised with that. Coaches, teachers, everybody, you got the applause and the approval when you were perfect, when you did great. And so my whole mentality, even up to an adult then, and I transferred that to God, that He's going to love me better if I do more, if I share Christ, if I go on this conference, if I do this thing, literally wore myself down.
And they're so interrelated too.
Yes.
You know, there is the lens which you end up looking at all of life through.
Yes. It's amazing. And we have no idea that they're so connected. Like, I didn't understand that physical was connected to emotional or spiritual. I just thought you just went and your body would just keep going, and no idea that what was running and driving me was actually an insecurity, was actually something that God needed to heal.
Yeah.
And so as a result of this many years seeking Him, I just learned that no. It's not about doing. You are perfect just the way you are. You can lie there in that bed for the rest of your life, and I will love you just as much as if you're out there sharing with the multitudes. And it was such an important thing for me to learn.
Yeah.
That then when I did get my healing, then it was just like, oh, now I just serve out of this incredible love for Him.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, sense of, oh, you have to do this, or just exhaust exhaustion. It's like you just serve out of this love and you actually get energized by it. It's amazing.
One of the things I typically ask is, you know, do you actually feel like the Father's heart? Do you actually get to share in His heart when you're working with Him?
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
It's energized.
Yes. It's this beautiful partnership. It's not this slave driver mentality, this feeling like I felt like I could never please Him. And I was involved in a Christian campus ministry that was very do oriented. And so that just kind of fed that whole mentality. I didn't ever feel okay stopping. I remember one time when I was on staff that I felt guilty for sitting down and watching a TV show for an hour. I should be preparing my Bible study. I should be praying. I should be, you know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so, wow.
Right? That's kind of a sickness.
Yeah.
And so if I had been healed like right away, I know that I probably would have just gotten right back on that unhealthy treadmill. So He allowed this process of healing to teach me that and get to know His heart, His true heart. And it was through this method that I use in my healing sessions that most of this healing came from.
Wow.
I was able to understand and see Jesus.
Yeah.
And actually see Him in my encounters and see how loving He was and how graceful He was.
How caring He is.
Yes. He was not at all worried about what I was doing.
So true.
It was all about just my relationship with Him. And that was transformational.
Yeah. So, you know, what are some of the, if you could just get a little clearer on what were some of the steps that He took you through? Because I know that, like you said, you know, you got this chronic illness that kind of just came along. Did it just slow you down? Is that what it was? Was that one of the main purposes of the, one of the main, it's almost like a method that God used with you to draw out this, to get a relationship.
Yeah. And I don't like to say that God uses, that God causes illness, right? Because I caused that by my lack. But He used my downtime for sure in that valley to help me get to know Him. And so a lot of the method was literally like my kids went to school and I just said, I'm going back to my room and I'm going to find out who this God is, because obviously I don't know who He really is.
Yeah.
And I just sought Him. I sought Him in the scriptures. I sought Him in prayer. And I would get a word like seek. So my whole word for the year was just seek, 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 seek.
Yeah. Yeah,
well. And then after that, I noticed things kind of changing. I was like, what's the word now? And He's like, abide.
Abide.
Just abide with Me. And I said, what does abide mean? I know John 15. And I felt like those two hands just clasp, fingers interlacing, clasping, just like, this is how you walk with Me.
Wow.
You walk close with Me. You walk intimately with Me.
Wow.
And then it changed. And the last word was surrender.
Wow.
Seek, abide, surrender. And so what I had done is I had surrendered first. Before I even knew the God that I was surrendering to, He wants us to seek Him, get to know Him, abide with Him, walk with Him, and then we can surrender to Him because we know His heart.
Yeah.
And so I had just had it backwards. And so as I got kind of walked through that, and then I learned this, I went to this place that taught about this healing method. It's called the Father's Farm in Holden, Missouri.
Yeah.
And it's called God Encounters.
Wow.
And you can close your eyes and you can literally see Him ministering to you. And He would just do this day after day after day, take me to places and just heal me and love on me and care for me. And I was just completely transformed after that. I was never the same. And I determined to show and teach this to all believers everywhere that are on that treadmill, that feel like they're never enough. They come into my sessions all the time. We're never enough. They're always surprised at how loving Jesus is, how funny He is, how relaxed He is.
Yeah.
He's never in a hurry. They're like, what? Because from the pulpit, that is not often the Jesus that we teach. We're always teaching, do more, do more. You know, I can't tell you how many sermons I've sat in. It's just been like, okay, now you need to do this better. You need to do that better. And you just kind of walk out feeling like, oh, one more thing to add to that backpack on my back, you know?
Wow, that's so true.
Yeah, but Jesus was never like that in my sessions. That doesn't mean those things aren't important, and holiness isn't, all that stuff is important. But we're putting the cart before the horse. We're supposed to be walking with Him first, and then the service comes as a result of that. It's a fruit of our intimacy with Jesus.
I like how you put that. Seek, You abide.
Yes.
And then you surrender.
Yes.
But if you put the surrender first, everyone wants to skip, like you're saying, they want to skip the steps.
Yes.
They want to skip the seeking and the abiding and just surrender. But if you surrender, you don't even know the guy.
Yes, exactly. And you know what it says about fruits, you know, works without him.
Yeah.
It's wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah.
You know, and I could feel that when I felt so exhausted after a ministry day, you know, so exhausted, and I was taking the credit for it, and I was getting resentful if I didn't get, you know, all that horrible stuff when you're just doing it in the flesh, when you're surrendering out of, without a relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but when you're ministering with that relationship, then you hear his voice, he leads you, he tells you how to do it, he's partnering with you. It's a blast.
Yeah.
I can do this like for hours and I'm never tired.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, especially with that, I'm going to say, especially with that method, because you're basically just turning them over to the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly it, Nate. I could pray for you, and that would be good. I might get a prophetic word.
Right.
But when you invite Jesus to just come and do it, I'm just facilitating. I'm taking the notes. Yeah. It's like, and people, they never, it's indelibly marked in them.
Yes, that's so true.
Because they've experienced it with him.
That's true.
Yeah.
So all of this, it led you to starting Sunrise Ministries. And when did you start Sunrise Ministries? Had God put that on your heart a little? How long ago did God put that on your heart, and how did that all come about?
Oh, I love that question. So when I was in bed sick, I knew that he was going to heal me.
Yeah.
I just knew it. I'm reading the Gospels. I'm reading the Scriptures. Every time someone came to Jesus with a physical infirmity, he healed it.
Yeah.
100%.
Right.
Never once did he say, nope, this isn't for you. He never said, no, I'm going to, you know, it was always yes. So I knew he was going to heal me. I was the Mark 5 woman. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. It said she went to many doctors, suffered greatly, spent everything she had, but instead of getting better, she got worse.
Wow.
This was my story, Nathan. I would go everywhere. I went to regular doctors, side doctors, every day. I did everything that's it. I took all the medicine, took all the, people would, you know, I just had so many things, natural remedies, and none of them worked. And I just knew someday I was going to be that woman that just knew if she reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, she was going to get healed.
Yeah.
So I would do that all the time. And I felt like God said, I am going to heal you. I am going to heal you. And then I started to see myself doing these sessions with people. I started seeing myself physically healing people. So I knew that not only was I going to be healed, but I was going to be a healer.
Yeah.
And so, yes, certainly one day, I had broken my ankle, and I was in the secret place for a couple months with him, and he was just downloading stuff. And then all of a sudden I saw, I'm going to run again. I'm going to bike. I was a triathlete before I got sick. And so I was just doing my physical therapy. I was walking around this lake near my house, and like, I went around my three times, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm not tired anymore. I should be tired by now. That is so weird. Cause you know, with a chronic illness, you don't overdo. Like if you go past your point, you could be in bed for weeks. So I knew my limit. It was my three laps, and I wasn't tired. And I went another time and I wasn't tired. I started adding a little jogging.
Wow.
I went to the pool. I wasn't tired. Like, this is so weird. 24 years. I have not experienced this. That's how my healing just manifested. I started training for a triathlon, and I was ready to do a triathlon that next summer. And I did three this last year. That was 2016. I did three triathlons this summer. That's 5 years later. I would say that's healing that stuck.
Yeah.
I've done long-term substitute teaching jobs, 12 weeks at a time. Never able to. It's just amazing. It was an absolute healing, and that's how he did it. So that was 2016. In 2016, my husband told me that he wanted a divorce, which was mind-blowing because we got along fine. And I thought when my healing occurred, he was really going to come back to the Lord, but he had already decided he wanted to leave. So in 2018, he left. I had to substitute teach full-time. But in 2020, during the shutdown, my job stopped because I was a teacher, substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, now spend some time with me. I did. In April of 2020, he downloaded the whole thing for Sunrise Ministries.
Wow.
He just downloaded it to me. He goes, this is what it's going to be called. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go physical and emotional healing.
Wow.
You're going to do private healing sessions. You're going to do seminars. You're going to, and it's going to be amazing. I'm going to provide everything that you need. I'll provide the team. I'll provide places. My daughter was sheltering in place with me at the time because she was a teacher. She's like, sure, I'll do your website. I'll do your logo.
Wow.
Everything just happened. By June, we were up and running. We've been doing healing sessions since
2020.
Then. 2020, spring of 2020.
Wow.
So isn't it cool that during a, quote, pandemic, God would birth the healing ministry that he always told me that I would have. Yeah, he gave me the name and everything about it. And so it's just amazing.
It's amazing how many ministries have been started in 2020.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Awesome.
It's amazing. God, when the whole earth went into regression, went forward.
Yes!
He goes forward.
Isn't that so like him?
Yes.
And doesn't it feel like, I don't know if this is what you're seeing, but I feel like there's so many of us that have been in wildernesses.
Oh, yes.
That have been hidden.
Yes.
But during that wilderness, he's been building and building and building and building in us, planting seeds that are now coming forth. And it's our time to come out. I just got a vision from him this morning of me in a rocket ship. Like, he's like, it is time to take off. It is launch
time.
There
you go. Launch time.
Yes.
Launch.
So I feel like he is doing that with people all over the world that have been in such difficulty with him, but they have had the faith to believe in him. They have not given up, even if it was just from a thread at times, but they have not given up. And now is our time to Isaiah 60, arise and shine.
Arise and shine.
Come.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 60, arise and shine.
Yeah, the
arise
darkness
and shine
covers
for the glory
earth.
Of the
yes.
Lord rises upon.
Yes. Though darkness covers the earth, deep darkness, the peoples, that's now, the glory of the Lord will rise upon us, and we will bring healing to those around us.
That's my word for this year is arise. It was out of Isaiah 60.
Come on.
Because I know exactly, that's exactly where we're at. So yeah, there's also, to your point, you know, it's like, there's people that have been silent for years, you know, in like what you're talking about, wildernesses, and there's so many different ministers right now that are in different spheres of influence. They're just talking about the church is pregnant. The whole body of Christ is pregnant. We're ready to start having some spiritual babies.
Yes.
In 2020, you birthed the baby. Yes. Sunrise Ministries came about. You know, it's just like we're literally in a birthing season right now.
Absolutely.
For the Lord.
Yes. He has used that term so many times, Nathan. You're birthing something. You're birthing something.
Yes.
I used to tell him, God, this is the longest pregnancy of anybody. Like, that's a long time to be pregnant.
True. It's true.
Yes. But boy, is it worth it. It's worth every minute of it. My daughter said that what I went through has allowed her to have instantaneous, like she is totally on fire with the Lord, prophetic gifting. She's like, that allowed me, what you suffered, allowed me to just boom, go right into it. And I pray that for every person that I encounter, just get it right away. Like, I'll take what, you know, he birthed it in me because he knew that I would give it away.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So is there any other passions that you have, like other than just Sunrise Ministries? Is there something else that, you know, really has sustained you? Is there a calling or a ministry or something? You're an intercessor. And so like there's like these things that get intercessors fired up. Like what starts your engine?
Okay. I know what you're talking about now. It is reaching the lost.
Yes.
It is reaching the lost. And what he has shown me through scripture, and I'm just getting chills saying this now, is that seeing people healed is the greatest evangelism tool of all time.
Amen.
Jesus used it. He said, preach the kingdom, teach and preach, but then heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the demons. That's our model.
Yeah.
He exampled it to us, and then he had us, commanded us to do it.
Yeah.
So what I see is as I get help to get the church healed. So that's what he showed me. The church needs healing first. The church needs emotional healing, and then they need to be taught their authority over sickness and so that they can start healing the sick. Once that happens, the world is going to wake up to the power of God and the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what I see is that he told me I'm birthing a movement, raising up an army. So I need to raise up an army to go out to the world to heal the sick. So I was thinking even on the way here that when I start to travel, that I will like connect with like running groups and biking groups in the city. And then as I get to know them, like get to heal them and preach the word to them. And, oh, come to my event tonight. It's going to be great. You know, like I totally see this as first to the church, but then to the world. Because let's be honest, we haven't really been demonstrating his power to the world. There's something that Paul said to Timothy. He said, there's a form of godliness without the power.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I feel like a lot of the church, you know, myself included, has not been functioning in that. And so that's one of my number one words to the church right now. And I'm doing a seminar on February 12th about this very thing, how to walk in divine health, that we're not to be afraid of sickness. We're supposed to heal the sick.
Yeah.
And there's authority that we have over sickness and disease. So I really want to get that word out to the church, raise up this amazing army who's been healed. Freely we've been given, freely we give. And then we go out and start just praying for everybody around us. We all know so many people that are sick and infirmed, or we're in Walmart, or we're, you know, wherever we are in our sphere of life. And we just say, hey, can I pray for that? And just start watching the healings break out. I got to speak to the women of my church on Tuesday, and the Lord said, this is the beginning of the birthing. I'm going to heal some people while you're there.
Yeah.
So I got to share my little half hour about scripture, about how Jesus views sickness and how he wants us to heal. And then afterwards, I got to pray for some.
Yeah.
And my dear friend, who has been sick with MS for 42 years, she came just to hear me speak.
Yeah.
She did not even have it on her mind that she was going to ask for healing. After I got done praying for everybody, I said, is there anyone else? Her hand shot up. And I go, yes, I want to pray for you. She said, Kathy, I didn't even come here to be prayed for, but the presence of God is so palpable in this room. I heard the voice say, get prayer now.
Yeah.
And so I prayed for her. She felt warmth going all through her body.
Wow.
This is in front of these wonderful women at my church who we have not been, you know, necessarily. And so she, she felt it. She experienced it. I heard from her yesterday. She said, I went shopping for 3 hours yesterday afternoon with my granddaughter. I could never do that.
Wow.
My healing is real. And so now she's a voice. Now she'll tell people. And you see how it just goes, like the woman at the well. You run home and you go, are you kidding? I just got healed.
Wow.
Jesus did it. It was miraculous. I can do this too. Like that is so my passion as well.
That's so cool.
I know.
And don't you feel his passion behind that too?
Yes.
Like God, he's like the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus are all like biting at the bit. They're like, let us out of the box.
I know. I just get shaking in my body when I think about it. Like he is ready to erupt is the word I got this morning. He's ready to erupt inside of us, just to explode.
Wow.
And so, man, if we can get it on fire as a church, but we need some inner healing.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing in the sessions. And the beauty of these sessions, Nathan, is that he will take you back to a place, the root of what's going on. So there's things that are holding us back, right? We've got fear, we've got depression, we've got addictions, we've got whatever, and he will bring us back. So I have an amazing story about that. Do I have time to share?
Oh, you have plenty of time.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so this is from my emotional healing session. So there was a woman that came, such a sweet gal, really quiet, and she shared with me that she had some like fears of she didn't like people focusing on her, having any attention.
Wow.
You know, she just wanted to be kind of the fly on the wall and, you know, was holding her back a little bit. So we said, well, Lord, what, you know, you want to show her the root of this? And she goes, okay, this is weird. I'm at a Girl Scout meeting. I'm in third grade and I can see myself there. I'm like, okay, let's go. Tell me about it. She said, well, I remember this really clearly. I think it was a brownie. She was a little brownie and she said something funny and everybody laughed. The moms laughed. The kids laughed. You know how that happens? A little kid said something funny. We all go, oh, that's so hilarious. But she was mortified. She was humiliated because it felt like everyone was laughing at her. She wasn't trying to be funny. She just said something and everyone laughed. And she just wanted to crawl under the table. She was so embarrassed. And I said, okay, now do you want to look around the room and see where Jesus is? because he was in that room.
Oh, yeah.
He's everywhere all the time. So she looks around and she says, oh, I see him across the room from me. He's sitting in a chair and he's gazing at me. She said, the love in his eyes is so amazing. Then she said this, she goes, I don't even notice anybody else in the room.
Wow.
No one else in the room matters right now. I only see him looking at me, and his love, that piercing gaze, completely healed her of that. She no longer cared. I'm just getting chills saying this. She no longer cared about the fear of man. She didn't care what other people thought. She knew Jesus was looking at her like that.
Yeah.
How simple was that? A brownie meeting.
A brownie.
Right? But this happens all the time. Like people, she just bring you back to something, heals it, and it's like, oh, that doesn't bother me anymore. It's like a wound that we have on our skin that doesn't heal. And once Jesus heals it, you look at your skin and it's like the wound was never there. There's no scar or anything. He completely remakes that memory. So that's true. Like it never happened. That scar never happened.
So he cuts that root, and then he also, it's almost like he works it all the way back through.
Because
what these things, they create lies that we end up believing.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know a young woman, and she was in junior high. She was vivacious and fun and everything. And she overheard someone say, that so-and-so is so annoying. I mean, it's another junior high girl, right?
Yeah,
that's what they do. She turned into an introvert.
Wow.
Quiet, insecure. It was horrible to see the transformation of her because she changed by that one word. So for the Lord to go back and take her to that, and then we'll talk about, okay, what was the lie that you believed?
Yeah.
And what does Jesus say is the truth? And let him kind of reprogram that tape that got put in there. And now she's free. She's free with the Lord, and she's confident, and she's a leader, and it's amazing.
I was going to say, she probably, because the enemy, he has a plan for you too, is to destroy the things that God wants you to do.
Yes.
So a lot of these people that have been shut down at such an early age have a gift where maybe they're supposed to be standing on stages.
Come on. That's exactly it, Nathan. Oh my God.
He's trying to shut down the powerful person.
Yes, the gifts, your destiny, the whole thing. And he does it. He can be successful at that if people don't realize it's him. For me, his plan was rejection. From the point of conception to, you know, he was just put rejection, rejection, rejection. And I feared rejection more than anything, a person's rejection. So it would teach me just to be whoever that person wanted to be. So I didn't even have a personality anymore. I was just, well, what do they want? What do they want? What do they want?
Yeah.
I was a shell of a person. And it was through this kind of inner healing of the Lord restoring that, speaking who I am and teaching me that those are lies. Oh my gosh. If I hadn't had
such a freeing experience.
I know, it's so amazing.
But and honestly, though, it actually works. I know that it always seems bad. Oh, maybe if I hadn't that, if I hadn't this, but if I hadn't believed that lie. But then actually, there comes like a little bit of a very big, like, you're on a vengeance track now.
I'm taking back territory.
Yes.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Quickly.
Yes. No, you're right, because I can see it when he's doing it to a person, and I don't like it.
No, I
see the beauty in that person. I see the gold. You are not going to keep them under
that. No,
yes, that is exactly right.
And it says, okay, so I built, so one of the main reasons behind Joy Valley is the Isaiah 61. It says, you know, to bind up the brokenhearted, you know, to, you know, give them beauty instead of ashes, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. All of that, you know, oil of joy instead of mourning, you know, and then it says he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, and he goes, in the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn.
Wow.
I mean, it was like, I think those other scriptures come right after that, but to bind up the brokenhearted, to do that. And then it says, then they will become trees of righteousness.
Yes.
He goes, and then they will repair ruined cities. And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
That's God.
Righteousness. Yes. We should be providing shade and fruit and beauty and life. Yeah. Yes. No ashes.
These people who are going through the healing processes of the Lord are going to come back. And His vengeance is repairing ruined cities.
Come on.
His vengeance is beautiful things.
Yes.
His vengeance is restoring the earth.
Yes.
Back to a kingdom.
Yes. You know. Exactly.
Because Jesus once kept saying, you know, pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know?
Exactly.
If Jesus prayed it, it's going to happen.
That's right. That's right. We should be kingdom carriers.
Yeah.
Yes,
so what we're doing is we're healing these people, then releasing them.
Yes.
I mean, we're not trying to hold on to these people. We're releasing them.
Exactly.
To be who their God-given calling is.
Come on. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Actually, that day the Lord downloaded Sunrise.
Yeah.
He said, you will communicate, demonstrate, and release.
Like rockets.
Go into your sphere and save and deliver and heal those that you see, your family, your friends, your coworkers.
Right.
Yes.
And they've been held back so long.
Yes.
And when you're taking somebody through the release process, you know, you know, they're like a spring. They're all coiled up.
Yes.
And so when they get out, they're like, taking all that back. Talk about a punch.
You know? Amen.
And they want it back quick.
Yes. That's the army, Nathan.
Yeah, that's the army.
That's the army rising up. We're angry, but we are full armored. We're armored up, and Jesus does the fighting. We just pick up the spoils. It's already been done, right? He already won the battle.
Yeah.
We're victors already. Yeah. We're more than conquerors.
And so then also, you know, like when you really get down to it, when you're a son and a daughter of God, you know, you're a son and a daughter of God, you know, the enemy doesn't want you to know you're a son and daughter of God. He doesn't want you to understand the full impact of a son and daughter of God.
No, he doesn't.
I'm a son of God.
Yes.
Which means I'm an heir to a throne in heaven.
Yes.
I'm a king on the earth.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like we have dominion.
Yes. But this is not being taught in our churches, Nathan. So we are feeling like we aren't. Sometimes we feel like orphans. Sometimes we feel like, God, where are you? We're not walking in that kingdom mentality.
Yeah.
But don't you think He returned us to the Adam state? So, you know, shouldn't we have everything that Adam had, just complete dominion and complete free? I mean, so if you compare where we are to, you know, the Garden of Eden, we've got a ways to go.
No, yeah, that's, He wants full dominion back. Right.
Yes.
And then, obviously, we're underneath the authority and the dominion of the whole of Jesus. Jesus restored that.
Yes.
And so now we're in that kingdom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're in that business.
He told us in John 14, right?
Yeah,
he said,
yeah,
I know you're sad that I'm leaving, but you should actually be glad that I'm going, because when I leave, then you will get the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So instead of just one me walking around, I'm going to be in every one of you.
Yes,
Romans 8, 11.
Yeah.
The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us.
Yes.
So we should not be thwarted by anything.
That's so true.
Yeah, we are really. And then he said, greater works will you do because I'm going to the Father. So if we think Jesus did amazing things, we can do even greater.
That's so true.
And sometimes he just says, dream with me, dream with me.
Dream with me.
Imagine. It's going to be good.
It's interesting. The imagination is often overlooked.
I know.
But it's actually out of God's imagination He created the earth.
Come on.
And we are created like God.
Yes.
And so out of our imagination, we birth ministries, we birth businesses, we birth visions of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay, so back to Sunrise Ministries. Are people contacting you and engaging with you on Sunrise Ministries right now? Are people like actually, you know, signing up for classes and just sessions with you?
Yes. Right now we offer only about 5 sessions a week because
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I still have to substitute teach a couple days a week. And I'm starting to do seminars. I'm doing my second one in February 12th. Yeah. So we had like 30 people at my first one. So I was encouraged by that. And we do worship and I speak and then we pray for every person.
Wow.
And I talk a lot about things that, first of all, it's all Bible, just scripture after scripture. But then, you know, so not only how Jesus saw healing, but then what are some obstacles that can keep our own healing from being? We talk through some of those things that I learned in my healing journey.
Yeah, that's right. Because you have a documented healing journey yourself.
Yes.
And so you're able to say, you know, you're going to come up against these obstacles.
Yes. Some of the things that I learned that can hold back healing is like unforgiveness, bitterness, some of that stuff. But a lot of the trauma from inner healing releases healing. We don't realize, again, sometimes our physical ailments are caused by the trauma that we've experienced. So we get the trauma healed and then the body gets healed.
Wow.
I see that a lot as well. Yeah, different things like that can kind of hold up our healing. Faith is really important to healing. Jesus often said it's your faith that healed you. He was amazed by people's faith. So as believers, it's really good to be focusing on the Gospels and reading over and over how Jesus healed and build up your faith to believe. I love to watch the old time healers. I'll watch Catherine Kuhlman videos, right? Some people like that. I read Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake. Yeah. You know, I've been reading those guys for years because I don't see a lot of it happening around me. I'm sure it is happening somewhere, but I love to read those stories and they build me up.
So if people want to get a hold of you, Kathy, at Sunrise Ministries, what is the best way for them to do that?
So they can go to my website, which is sunrisekc.org. And there's also an email link there if you want, you know, to contact me. It's info@sunrisekc.org. And that's the best way. You can sign up for healing sessions there. You can find out about events coming up, sign up for the mailing list, that kind of thing. We're pretty small right now. My team is still pretty small, but God is going to equip us for what we need for the time. Would love to just hear from anybody that's encouraged and has stories to share. And
thank you, Kathy.
You're so welcome. It's been an honor to be here. I'm really excited. Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have a conversation with you. I'm excited to hear your heart and just really excited to see where God's taking this ministry.
Me too. Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks again to Kathy for sharing her time with us and telling us the Genesis story of Sunrise Ministries. From the website www.sunrisekc.org, you can choose to schedule a healing session, learn when the next healing event is, or request a speaking engagement from Kathy at your location. I'll make sure to include the site link in the show notes. Oh, and I almost forgot, make sure to leave your backpack at the feet of Jesus. God bless. Thanks again for joining us for another Joy Valley podcast. Please consider partnering with the Joy Valley Mission to discover Christian ministries in Kansas City focused on trauma and emotional healing. If you would like to partner with us, please go to www.patreon.com/Joy Valley. Thank you so much.